This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join me tonight at 7 p.m. for a Nestor Cortez watch party.
You are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Yankee fans. I'm your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. Welcome to Locked On Yankees. On today's episode, we will be talking about the Yankees beating the Twins again, this time 7-5. I'll have a full recap of the game. I'll preview the remaining games of the series because this is a four-gamer. So we have tonight, Saturday, Sunday. I'll have any other news you need to know. We'll even have some minor league updates because some exciting things have been happening down in the minors, and there are some players that you should probably know about. But first, you can listen to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you use your smart device, you can say, play podcast Locked On Yankees. You can also subscribe to this YouTube channel, like, comment, try and be nice, maybe. So anyway, the Yankees beat the Twins again last night, and they are 106-38, including the playoffs, against the Twins since 2002. That is amazing. And there was another number. Katie Sharp tweeted it last night. Sorry, I just banged into something. Over the span of 162 games, the Yankees have 109 wins against the Twins. That is, I always say when the Yankees play the Twins that the fortunes are going to change at some point. There's going to be a time when the Twins start beating the Yankees. It's not happening yet. Although now that I said that, they'll probably win tonight's game. So if that does happen, you can blame me. You can yell at me. It's fine. I understand. But it's just, I'm so sorry for all the noise. It's just, I can't even describe it. It's so unbelievable that a team can be that dominant against another team. And I've said this on past shows after the Yankees have played the Twins. You know, some of those Twins teams that they were playing in the 2000s and in the 2010s that they beat handily in the playoffs, either by sweeping them or winning, you know, a series 4-1 or whatever the case may be. I'm trying to think, have they made it to an ALCS? No, I think it's always been division series or wild card games, stuff like that. And it's just amazing to me. It's not as if the Yankee teams that beat the Twin teams weren't better than them, but the playoffs are a crapshoot. You know, your team can win 103 games in a season, be dominant against a specific team during the regular season. And then once the playoffs start, all bets are off. You never know what's going to happen. And, you know, I always felt as if there was going to be a time when the Twins would finally, you know, get the Yankees. Although that did happen in that one game against Aroldis Chapman earlier in the season where what did he give up? What was it? 4 runs on 9 pitches. I believe that's what the number was. And yeah, that was shocking. And it almost felt as if that could have happened last night, although Chapman wasn't there, but just the way the game was going, it almost felt like it could happen again. But with the way the Yankees have been playing lately, I don't know. There were two trains of thought. Does that make sense? I felt as if maybe it was the Yankees of July they would have lost that game last night, but the Yankees of August, I mean, they're just on a roll. They've won 7 in a row. They have the best record in the majors since July 26th. I believe now it's 29-11. The Rays are right behind them. The Rays, I think, are 28-11 in that same span, so they're keeping up with them, but the Rays were so far ahead of them that it's going to be hard for them to catch up to the Rays, which is understandable, but they leapfrogged ahead of everyone else. So they're ahead of the A's. They're ahead of the Red Sox. They're in the first wild card. They're in second place in the AL East. They made it to 70 wins before the Red Sox did, which, you know, a month ago, you wouldn't have thought that. And what the Yankees are doing lately is pretty cool. Now, they had a 6-0 lead after the fourth inning. And you're thinking, or at least I was thinking, and maybe you were thinking, are we going to have an easy game? Is this going to be a game where we're not holding on to our butts in the ninth inning or stressed out in the ninth inning? And that didn't quite happen. It still was slightly scary, but again, it was the Twins. And I feel bad saying that. You know, I know they're bad this year, but I feel bad expecting the Yankees to beat the Twins all the time, you know? So let's look at last night. Tyone, okay. Jameson Tyone, cruising, absolutely cruising, shutting them down for five innings. And then all of a sudden, in the top of the sixth, he completely loses it. Now, he was lucky that he had the six-run lead, so that afforded him the room to make those sorts of miscues and, you know, the home run and the double. And, you know, you could tell he was very angry with himself when he was done. So he only lasted five and a third. And he's still pitching well enough, obviously, to win. I mean, the offense helped. But three runs is not bad. You know, just stuff happens. He didn't walk anyone, which is a good thing, I think. And he had five strikeouts. The home run was two. Why can't I remember? Jake Cave. Old friend Jake Cave, of course. And then Wandy Peralta came in. Britton came in. Chad Green came in. Can we talk about David Cohn on the game last night? The way he was basically like trying to get Chad Green to stop being cute at the end there. I mean, as much as I love David Cohn in the booth, and you all know, because you, if you've listened to the show a long time, you know that Cohn has been on the show and we're friendly. I would love for him to be a coach. I don't think he wants to do that. I think he wants to stay in broadcasting, but he would be great because he would just basically be like, what are you doing? He would go out to the mound and be like, what are you doing? Throw your best pitch. Why are you being cute? Stop. Stop doing this. And that's basically what he was doing last night. So I found that to be just hilarious. And I love him. I mean, everyone loves David Cohn, right? He's the best Yankees broadcaster. No offense to all the other ones, but David Cohn is just, and I said it to him on the show, that as much as I love him on Yes, I would love for everyone else in the country to hear him. And yes, he's done some postseason work, but I feel like he would just be kick-ass in that kind of a role. Speaking of kick-ass, it's time for me to talk about Built Bar. Did you know that Built Bar has so many delicious flavors that there's something for everyone? Yeah, that's right. And when you talk to a Built Bar fan, like myself, we're passionate about our favorite flavors. Mine is mint brownie, but the other flavors are coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream, German chocolate. If you haven't tried all the flavors yet, you can get a mixed box where you get two of each of the nine flavors. So try them out, figure out what you like, and order your favorites over and over again. I promise you will not regret this. They're high in protein, low in calories, low in sugar. They're healthy for you. Built Bar is the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team, which is pretty cool. Go to built.com and use our promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. Like I said, get the mixed box, figure out what you like, and then just order your favorites. That's what I did with mint brownie. Although I will say, salted caramel, double chocolate, and German chocolate, mwah. Again, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. So what else can we talk about last night's game? Oh, okay, Giancarlo Stanton's home run, which turned out to be actually good because the Twins got closer than the Yankees would have liked. So that seventh run was actually a big deal. But did anyone notice the poor kid that got bopped on the head by that home run? That could not have felt good. Giancarlo Stanton hits the ball very hard and it looked like the kid kind of did it. I don't know if it was like a this sort of thing and it just bounced off his head and went a few rows back. I felt bad for him. He couldn't have been older than 12 and I really hope the kid is okay. Let me tell you. Okay, I'll tell you a story. Old Stadium, game five against Cleveland in 2007. When you had season tickets back then, I had the Sunday plan. I sat in the upper deck. I was in section 11, box 623, row C, seats 5 through 8. I was there for 10 years. Loved those seats. But the playoffs are kind of a crapshoot, and they'll just put you anywhere all over the stadium. So for game five against Cleveland, they put my tickets in the front row or the upper deck. Okay. You've seen home runs go to the old stadium's upper deck. And you think to yourself, wow, that's really far. That's cool that they're hitting it that high. Okay. Travis Hafner nearly killed me during BP that night. The balls come up there so fast. Like, think of Tino's Grand Slam against San Diego. I don't have great hand-eye coordination. This eye doesn't even like to behave and stay straight. So you can't even imagine what it was like for me when those balls were. At one point, I said, you know what? I'm going to wait up there until batting practice is over because I like to see this game. Of course, the game didn't turn out to be good and the Yankees lost the series, but I did not want to be killed. So that person, that poor child, must have been in pain from getting hit in the head. My cousin once got hit by a foul ball off the bat of Chase Headley. I believe it was 2015. She was sitting in, let's see, she was by the right field foul pole in the first level, but up a bit. And it wasn't on a fly, it was on a bounce, but it literally hit her right here. And it was shown on camera. I put it up on YouTube. She was fine. That's why I did it, because she was totally fine. And she's always been kind of whacked anyway. And if she's watching this, she knows. But yeah, this also goes back to when people were upset about the Nets and saying that they didn't want the Nets up. You know, if you can't pay attention to a game and you can't catch a ball, why are you there? Those balls are flying at you. And even in my old seats in the upper deck, right-handed batters would hit foul balls straight up to where I was sitting. Who was it? Derek Jeter? I think Derek Jeter almost killed me with a foul ball. My friend and I dove like this. It was like cartoon characters running out of the way of something, and the ball hit the back of my chair, dented it, and then bounced back off the upper deck. We were in the fifth row. So yeah, you have to really be careful when you're sitting in those outfield seats. And I think the kid was slightly lucky that it was an opposite field shot from Stanton, so it wasn't quite as hard as it would have been if he had pulled the ball and hit it, but my God, that was wow. And you could tell people kind of went to him like, are you okay? So I hope he's okay. If you're his parent, I hope he's okay. And if you're his parent and you actually watch the show, let me know that he's okay, because I'm actually concerned about your child. So let's go through all the numbers. The Yankees only had 7 hits last night. Minnesota only had 8. Velasquez and Higashioka were the heroes again. Velasquez is making the most of this opportunity, and I love it. I love every single second of it. He's tiny, which I think is great. I mean, in real life, he's not. He's 5'8". He's nearly average height for a guy, but on the Yankees, with all those huge skyscraper guys like Judge and Stanton, he looks like he's 4'11". And of course, baseball 5'8 is probably really 5'7", 5'6", because they like making you seem taller when you're shorter. Like I always joke that Jose Altuve is probably really 5'5", not 5'. What did they say he is? 5'6"? I don't think so. But yeah, Velasquez was 2 for 3. He had a triple. And I love the energy that he plays with. I love how excited he is to be there. He's a Bronx-born kid. Everyone loves that sort of story. And again, I always say this about baseball. It feels like baseball is the only sport where stuff like this happens. You know, there are feel-good stories in other sports, but I feel like it happens more often in baseball. And I feel like you can be more romantic about baseball than you can about, say, basketball or football. You know, and this kind of story, this kid from the Bronx who's staying with his parents in the Bronx because it's too expensive to stay in Manhattan. I feel you. I love this so much. I think it's the greatest thing. And I really want him to do well. I know Glaber's on the way back and, you know, his playing time might be limited, Velasquez, but I just love that he's making the most out of this opportunity. And let's talk about Higashioka. Because he played because Gary Sanchez is still not 100% and he's still kind of tired from the COVID thing, which is understandable. And, you know, Higgy hit the crap out of the one home run that he hit, went into the second deck and left. And that's one of those places, you know, the second deck and right gets hit into a lot, but it's kind of rare to see a ball go into the second deck and left. And that was pretty impressive, Higgy. I'll give you that. So let's see. What are we up to now? Okay. Yeah. So it's that time of year again. All eyes are turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season, which is just crazy to me, but it is August 20th. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including online's biggest $500,000 NFL mega contest and the world's largest 200,000, I almost put too much money there, NFL Survivor Contest, open now at BetOnline. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100. See, I'm so used to saying some of these live reads that they're stuck in my head. Sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo. So make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion Buccaneers and the Dallas Cowboys. If you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25 for new customers only when signing up and using promo code NFL100. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. Use our promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So let's preview tonight's matchup. I already mentioned earlier that it's Nasty Nestor Cortez. I love Nasty Nestor Cortez. By the way, if you didn't know, all the Yankees pitchers were wearing a Nasty Nestor t-shirt. They all took a picture together. And at first, Gerrit Cole was not wearing a t-shirt. And then later during batting practice, I believe he was wearing one. And Jameson Taillon was wearing that shirt during his post-game press conference, which I thought was adorable. I love this team right now. They're firing on all cylinders. They're finally having fun. You know, they're still not 100%. They're still waiting for guys to come back. And it's just amazing how well they're playing. And let's hope that that stays that way and keeps up, because, you know, you don't want a team to peak too early, right? You kind of want them to, you know, roll into October and do well. But right now, this is good. Hey, if they're going to peak and stay peaked all the way through October, I'm totally for that. And that would be amazing. So let's look at tonight's matchup. As I said, Nestor Cortez Jr. against Charlie Barnes. Charlie Barnes is 0-2 with a 4.91 ERA. That's in 18.1 innings, or 18 and a third, sorry, 9 strikeouts. And let's see. Okay. He pitched against Tampa in his last start. Didn't get the decision, but he pitched 5 innings, only gave up 1 run on 3 hits and 3 strikeouts. And now, considering how well the Rays have been playing lately, because they've been playing just as well as the Yankees, that's pretty good, holding the Rays to 1 earned run. He also pitched against the White Sox back on August 9th, 4 2/3, 3 runs on 6 hits, 2 walks, 3 strikeouts. So he's not a big strikeout guy, which I think works in the Yankees' favor. And on the 4th against Cincinnati, he picked up the loss. He gave up 5 runs on 7 hits in only 4 innings of work with 2 walks and 2 strikes. Why do I do that? I do that a lot. I don't know why. I'm sorry. Does anyone else feel like this is the most Monday week of all time? It's Friday. It feels like a Monday. And this day is going by really slow as well. I don't know why that's happening. So Nasty Nestor picked up his first win in his last outing, 6 innings against the White Sox, 1 run on 7 hits with 1 walk and 7 strikeouts. That's a nice balance there. 7-1-1-7 in the line score. So that's pretty cool. And overall, he's 1-1 with a 2.55 ERA in 49 1/3 innings. That works out to 53 strikeouts. His whip is 1.09. So I've said this a bunch of times, but I feel like Nestor Cortez is one of the Yankees' MVPs so far in 2021. I would say Lucas Leckie as well, even though I feel like he's being Scott Proctored. And if you're an older Yankee fan, you get what I'm saying. He's being Scott Proctored. He's being Paul Quantrill. He's being Tanyan Sturtzed. Yeah, he's being pitched a lot. You know, and that's because Boone likes to bring him in if Chapman isn't pitching well. And we saw that the other night. He got out of it against the Red Sox, but he's had some instances where he hasn't. That Angels game that I went to where Chapman gave up the grand slam. Yeah. And then Lecky came in, he gave up more runs, and then the Angels ended up winning 11-8. So yeah. Anyway, let's look at tomorrow, Saturday. It is a 4:05 game. No, 1:05 game. Why did I think it was 4:05? Anyway, Kenta Maeda against Gerrit Cole. So I think that's, I guess you would consider that to be the marquee matchup of this series. Now, Maeda is 6-4 with a 4.41 ERA. So not as good as he could be. But then again, the Twins are just not good this year. And some guys are just not having. You know, when guys you expect to have good years are not having good years, that doesn't really help your team. So that's what's happening. Cole, 11-6, 3.04 ERA. And let's see. What is happening with my phone? I apologize. I'm so sorry. I don't have my regular, I don't, this isn't my regular setup. Oh no, this way. It's my brother's setup because he has way cooler Yankee paraphernalia than I do. Okay, Maeda, in 102 innings, he has 108 strikeouts with the 4.41 ERA. His last start was against Tampa. He got the win. Minnesota actually did okay against Tampa in that series. He pitched 6 innings, gave up 3 hits, no runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts. And he actually got the win against Houston. Okay, that's slightly scary. When a guy who isn't doing that well is pitching well against good teams. So the Yankees better watch out on Saturday for Kenta Maeda. He picked up the win against Houston, 5 innings, 3 runs on 6 hits, 3 walks, 5 strikeouts. So it wasn't a dominating start, but he pitched well enough to win against Houston. As for Cole, he came back from the COVID IL. He pitched against the Angels and he went 5 2/3, 1 run on 2 hits, 9 strikeouts. Anytime you see Gerrit Cole with that many strikeouts, it's a good thing. And I said this on yesterday's show. The previous start was that horrible start against Tampa when the Yankees were going for a sweep in Tropicana Field, because that never happens anymore. And Cole just, yeah, I'm not going to say the phrase. I'm not allowed to say bad words on here, but you know what I'm going to say. It involves a bed. Okay. So he pitched one and no, God, if he only pitched one inning, that really would have been bad. 5 1/3 innings, 7 runs on 6 hits with 2 walks, but he still struck out 10. Because that's the thing about the Rays. They're winning a lot of games, but as I said from the Maeda stats, they have a tendency to not hit that much. And if you look at their averages, at least when we were playing, when the Yankees were playing them in Tropicana Field in that series at the end of July, you noticed a lot of low batting averages. I know batting averages aren't the be all end all anymore. That used to be the thing everyone looked at, but you look at different stats. But it kind of stuck out to me that a lot of these guys were batting around 200, lower than 200, and they're still winning all these games. Now, Sunday, Jordan Montgomery, who also returned from the COVID IL earlier this week, will be facing off against, why can't I remember this guy's name? Griffin Jacks. Every time I see Jacks, I think of Vanderpump Rules. So sorry, Jacks. Griffin Jacks is 3-1 with a 5.11 ERA in 44 innings with 35 strikeouts. And his last start against Cleveland didn't get the win, but he pitched 6 innings, gave up 2 runs on 7 hits with 3 strikeouts. In the previous game to that, 6 days earlier against the White Sox, he also pitched 6 innings, gave up 3 runs on 5 hits with 1 walk and 10 strikeouts. So the potential is there for him to strike out a lot of batters. You know how the Yankees sometimes like to strike out a lot, even during this winning streak, they're doing that. So, or not this particular streak, not these 7 games, the streak of being 29-11 in the last more than month. Now, Jordan Montgomery, he only pitched, was it 4 2/3? 4 2/3. Gave up 3 runs on 5 hits, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. So the 6 strikeouts were good. And he's coming back from COVID. It's understandable that he didn't last that long. But Jordan Montgomery is another one of those guys where he kind of starts off okay and then kind of screws up a little bit. And, you know, he kind of has to get things going. I believe it was the other way around where he looked pretty strong at first and then he kind of petered out at the end, which, you know, that happens. And I don't expect him to come back and be 100% after having COVID, just like Sanchez, just like Cole. Clay Holmes is working his way back. We'll update you on that. He is supposed to have a bullpen session. That's what Boone said yesterday. Now for the minors updates, I wanted to tell you about this. Anthony Volpe hit a walk-off for the Renegades last night, the Hudson Valley Renegades, who are only about an hour from my house, and I haven't been able to see them, and I want to. They beat the Brooklyn Cyclones in exciting fashion, and he is doing really well. And he has become one of the Yankees' better prospects, which is exciting because he's kind of local, right? He's from Jersey, so good for him and good for the Renegades, and that's always a fun thing. So to recap, the Yankees beat the Twins again. That's not that shocking. And they play them three more times tonight, Saturday, Sunday. And let's see if the Yankees can continue their winning ways. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Bets. Betting on the Yankees doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favorite picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We really appreciate it. Also, subscribe on YouTube if you are so inclined. Enjoy your weekend, and I will talk to you all tomorrow.